السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم، اما بعد، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمدللہ والفضل کرم احسان اف اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی. وی آر بیک فار دی فورتھ ٹرم آف دس اکیڈیمک ایئر، اینڈ وی میک دعا دیٹ اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی ایکسیپٹ اور بروکن ایفٹ. اللہ پاک گرانٹ اس اخلاص، شرف قبولیت. اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی gives us توفیق to make عمل on whatever he allows us to learn, and Allah سبحانہ وتعالی gives us توفیق to then pass it on to others as well. We now move on to the next section here, which is the description of a perfect wife. What is the description of a perfect wife? We shall now present the description of a perfect wife in the words of ulama and wise men with their vast experience, who have studied various times and aspects of life. We appeal to all women to add the qualities described here to their practical lives, instead of just adding them to their registry of general knowledge. Just to say we did this, we read that kitab, we did this kitab, that is not the object. But rather, we need to inculcate whatever we learn. So this particular kitab is specifically for women, and it is discussing marital life, etc. So they are appealing that each lady, each wife should implement these qualities into her life. To bring something into one's life, it is necessary to first make an intention. When a person resolves to lead a pious life, Allah Ta'ala makes it easy for her. You should therefore make an intention now to implement everything you are about to read. If possible, perform 2 rakat salah before continuing, so that Allah Ta'ala may make it easy for you. Now, you can't read the 2 rakat salah now, but maybe other people who may listen, they can stop, read 2 rakat salah, make dua to Allah Ta'ala saying, O Allah, grant me the ability to adopt all the good qualities of an excellent wife that are pleasing to you and your beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allow me to practice these so that I may please my husband and my family and become a source of comfort for them all. Ameen. So maybe you can't read the 2 rakats now, but the dua, you can make the dua and say Ameen. Right. The perfect wife is she who provides encouragement for her husband. First point. She provides encouragement for her husband. She who behaves intelligently. Number 2. So the first one is she gives courage to her husband. Second point is she behaves intelligently. She who turns her husband's attention towards her. She beautifies herself with good akhlaq, with beautiful clothing, with permissible forms of beautification like mehndi, keeping herself clean, utilizing certain permissible perfumes, etc. Who wins his heart and who showers her love and compassion on him. Right? So these are the qualities of a perfect wife. That number 1, she provides encouragement for her husband. Number 2, she always behaves intelligently. Number 3, she turns her husband's attention towards her, thus winning his heart. And then, on the other side, she showers her love and compassion upon him. Right? It is said that Shaitan addresses woman saying, "You are half my army, and you are my arrow which never misses its target." This makes it clear that half of Shaitan's armament is in the form of carnal desires. He appeals to our carnal desires. The remaining half is in the form of anger and frustration. Right? One is desires. Through desires, Shaitan makes a person falter. And the other is anger. Through anger, shaitan makes a person falter. When a husband does not find comfort with his wife, shaitan will turn his attention towards other women. Whereas women can be extremely simple, they can also be very difficult and hard to handle. While they have the qualities of purity and virtue, they are also capable of causing enmity and corruption. If they choose, they can bind a broken family just as easily as they can divide a united family. An irreligious woman is a scourge to her family and to her progeny to come. No one can give happiness to her family, and they will always remain deprived of comfort. On the contrary, a good and pious woman is the light of her home and enjoys the status of a queen in her home. Right? So this was one explanation of a perfect wife. Right? Now we're moving on. The perfect wife is resolute and follows the path that Islam has chalked out for her. She refrains from adopting the practices and modes of dressing of the kuffar. In fact, she even abstains from buying perfumes and other articles that the kuffar manufacture, so that her wealth is rather spent on articles that Muslims manufacture. This she does so that her money can benefit the Muslims instead of their enemies. And you know, many of us, we have this weakness, right? We would rather go and shop in a non-Muslim outlet because of the comfort of shopping, right? Whereas maybe we can buy the same items from a Muslim business, right? Maybe with a little bit of discomfort, but we'll be able to purchase the same items from a Muslim businessman. Now, if we purchase it from a Muslim businessman, he will pay zakat. The zakat will assist the Muslim public. He will use the profits for building masajid, madaris, etc., etc. So we will also be like a contributor towards those things, right? But if we shop at non-Muslim outlets, then they will use their money for churches, they will use their money for wine, dine, movies, all haram things, because they are non-Muslims. They are not going to assist the Muslim community with the profits that they accrue from their businesses. Okay, so this is something that we really need to do some soul searching. And we need to see how we can bring about some change. Sometimes it is difficult to go and shop in a Muslim business because their businesses are sometimes in a taxi rank and in those type of places where it's dangerous. So then obviously we don't expect our Muslim people to go and shop there. It's dangerous, right? But if there is a Muslim business which has got good parking and it's in a nice area where it's easy to go and shop, then this is something that we should look at. We should try and, give our patronage to Muslim businessmen. Okay. She neither apes the West in their fashion, their domestic lifestyles, or in their ways of living. She realizes that the blessings of life and the blessings of the home are derived from the love and understanding that a couple develops between themselves. She knows that these blessings are neither acquired by wearing expensive clothing, nor by decorating the house with exclusive furniture, appliances, and curtains. These things are, after all, merely for show. Right? I mentioned this when we were in Dubai. I mentioned to the ladies, I said, look, obviously behind parda, I said to them that, look, if you set your dinner table on a solid oak dining room table and with chairs and all that, if you set it that way, I may have not said it in the exact words, but this basically this is what I said to them, that if you have to set it on the table, or you set a dastarkhan and put it on the floor, right? It doesn't make much of a difference to your husband. Long as the meal you served is a nice meal, he will appreciate it, he will be happy. Men don't really take in all these details. Right? So, as long as the food is well prepared, it's served to him nicely on time, a nice hot tasty meal, he will eat it, whether you put it on the table and chair or whether you put it on the dastarkhan. Right? You don't have to have a table and chair in order to make the meal presentable. Right? So sometimes we are in this fallacy that we can only do things smart if we have smart things. No, it doesn't work that way. You don't need plush furniture and couches and all those things to make your home a warm, loving, wonderful environment. The perfect wife is she who encourages her husband to carry out good deeds. Addressing all men, a woman once said, "The true hero among you is the one whom us women cannot entice towards sin." That is a true man. That the man can be away from his wife, he's in a foreign country, there may be beautiful, beautiful women there, but no matter what those women do, they cannot charm him, because he is a real man. He is a real man. He is true to his Allah. He is true to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is true to his wife. He is a strong man. But a person whom at every advance of a woman he is falling prey, then he is not fit to be even called a man. In fact, it was because of a woman that the son of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam committed the first murder on earth when he killed his brother. Right? You all know the story of Habil and Qabil. Right? So because of a woman, Habil was going to marry a prettier woman, Qabil got jealous and he murdered him. The perfect wife has the deep-rooted fervor within herself to assist her husband and to cooperate with him. You know, in most marriages, this is a major problem, that the lady is not prepared to cooperate. Right? She gets stubborn, she wants this, she wants it now, and that's it. Right? She's not prepared to cooperate. She's not prepared to discuss with the husband. The husband is trying to say that, you know what, okay, fine, maybe the toaster broke now. Right? We don't want to just go buy another cheap toaster. Can we just, you know, toast the bread in the oven for a while, maybe for a month or 2 months, and then I want to buy you a nice toaster, a good toaster. Right? But she's on one foot. I want a toaster and I want it now. So no cooperation. I'm just giving you a simple example. But there are many, many things. Sometimes it's big, big things also. Just no cooperation between the spouses. Sometimes it's the husband's fault also. He doesn't want to cooperate. Cooperation, very, very important factor in a marriage. Right? In fact, the husband and wife should both share this commitment and should be prepared to make sacrifices for each other. They should both have the inclination to give rather than to take. Instead of only focusing on what I can get out of this marriage, we must focus on how can I contribute to this marriage? How can I make this marriage better? Why must we always focus on what my partner is not doing for me? Why must we focus on that? No, rather focus on what more can I do for my partner. The perfect wife is prepared to dedicate her life to her husband. She has made up her mind to live for her husband's pleasure instead of her own pleasure. Whatever she does should be according to her husband's liking. When she does this, the time will not be long before her husband will do the same for her. However, she will have to make many sacrifices during the early years of marriage. Right? You see, here again, our girls are too used to Mills and Boons novels, romance novels, this novels, that novels, where the man is doing everything to sweep the woman off her feet. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way in marriage. When the couple get married, it is the lady who will have to make the initial sacrifices. She will have to make the initial changes, compromises. And if she does this, then in a few years' time, she will win this husband over, and now he will be prepared to do the world for her. Right? But the mistake that many women make is, as soon as they go into a marriage, they expect now that the husband must worship the ground that they walk on. And if it's not that way, now they think about that romance novel, they think about that movie and they say, no, he doesn't love me. Because he never do that, that means he doesn't love me. If he never brought me roses, that means he doesn't love me. If he doesn't whisper something in my ear, that means he doesn't love me. The perfect wife is one who detests pandering to the desires of her nafs. She does not allow her nafs to beguile her, thereby causing her to either barter her family's honor, to compromise on the children's proper upbringing, or to neglect her husband's rights. The quality of a woman is sufficient to win, or this quality of a woman, that way she doesn't let her nafs control her, this quality of a woman is sufficient to win her husband's heart and to give him peace of mind. Such a wife advises her husband to abstain from earning money via haram means, assuring him that the family are prepared to tolerate hunger rather than the fire of Jahannam. She constantly reminds him that he should not usurp the rights of others. He should not lie or cheat in business. He should not infringe on the rights of his fellow employees. He should not miss his salah with jamaat. And he should not do anything else by which his earnings become tainted, thereby exposing the entire family to the fire of Jahannam. This is how she thinks, and this is the advice that she will give to her husband. Now we come to certain advices for a bride. We have discussed the qualities. You know, what you girls should be doing is actually put markers, because the kitab is quite lengthy, right? You try and put some markers on those, you see, like this section here now, the qualities of a perfect wife, it summarizes a lot of what we have been reading throughout these so many hundreds of pages, right? It summarizes the whole thing. So if you keep a mark on these things, and later on, you know, you go through it, after you get married also, you in your marriage, you faced with some problems, go through it and refresh yourself. That this is how I was supposed to have been behaving in my marriage. Am I behaving in this manner or not? Right? Now we move on to advices for a bride. Allah Ta'ala has passed a decree that the person who disobeys him shall never have a life of contentment, even though he or she seems to be living a life of affluence and luxury. And you see this all the time. Right? That sometimes you will get a family, maybe they don't have too much of material. They don't have too much material. Right? But they are happy. They are a happy family. They don't even go for a holiday anyway. But they are quite happy, content. Right? The husband just dotes on his wife. The wife dotes on the husband. The children are so united with their parents. And on the other hand, you get a family who from the outside, you know, you would think, you know, this family, one thing, hey, they sorted, man. Look at them. They got a beautiful house, beautiful motor car, every now and again overseas, wonderful clothing, this, that. But it's all empty. It's just an empty shell. There's no happiness in that home. There's just no happiness in that home. So, this is a deception that you can only be happy if you have material things. No. That's not happiness. Despite these pleasures, his or her heart is filled with worries and anxieties. Such a person cannot really enjoy any of the pleasures available to him or her. As for the life of the hereafter, only worse can be expected. May Allah Ta'ala save us all from such damnation, such khasara. Ameen. It is therefore necessary for every bride to make up her mind to lead her life in harmony with the injunctions of the Sharia. Remember this. When we live our lives in conformity with the Sharia, Allah Pak will give us inner happiness. Right? Sometimes in remaining firm on the Sharia, your husband also may get upset with you. Children may get upset. Parents may get upset. But Allah will give you inner happiness. And in the akhirat, you will have bliss. You will have bliss. But if we try to break the laws of Sharia, then in this world also we will get frustrated. And in the akhirat, we will face doom. Right? She should resolve that she will not earn the wrath of Allah Ta'ala regardless of the pressures that others apply on her. We shall therefore present the following valuable advices for every bride to practice. Number one. The first advice is Salah. Right? Steadfastly perform every Salah as soon as the Adhan is called out. Prolong your Salah and ensure that the limbs of your body are at rest during your Salah so that you resemble a tree or a pillar. Pause after every verse of Surah Fatiha and others. In other words, what they are saying is read your Salah properly. Now remember, all this must be understood within reason. Say for example, you all were on Safar, right? You had traveled, you're out of town, long journey, you just reached home, it's Maghrib time, the children are hungry, husband needs a cup of tea, right? Whatever. Now that time you go on your Musalla and you say, right, now I'm reading my Maghrib Namaz, and you're reading like Qari Basit style and 11 Subhana Rabbi Al Azim in Ruku and all that. Now you're going to create problems. Now in that type of a situation, make your namaz mukhtasar, short. Read it nicely. Read it nicely, but short. Read Surah Fatiha, Alam Tara Kaif. Three times, Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la. Finish your namaz, read your two sunnati mu'akkada. Leave your awabin out for that day. Go and see to the children, go and see to the husband. But under normal circumstances, you must plan yourself such that you got your time to read your salah and you can read your salah comfortably. Right? So that's the first advice. And this is a very, very important thing. Remember this. Never ever let your salah go. Sometimes young people get married. They move on their own. They're living in their own flat. They got their own house. Right? It's very easy to slip. Very easy to slip. You start sleeping through Fajr. Right? Then Zuhur gets, you know, becomes a casualty. In the evening now, talking with the husband, Maghrib and Isha goes. One day Maghrib will go, you feel guilty, you make your qaza. Then all of a sudden, you get used to it. And then it doesn't even hurt anymore. So never ever let that happen. Hold on to our salah. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Salah will prohibit us and take us away from guna. Right? So always remain steadfast on salah. Don't ever lose your namaz. Be steadfast on salah. Right? The second advice that is being given here is hijab. Hijab. Every Muslim woman should be particular about keeping her body concealed from non-mahram men. She should ensure that no part of her body, not even a single hair, is exposed to them. In fact, she should even ensure that no non-mahram man even hears her voice. Now, many of our women are very particular when it comes to wearing the cloak and the hijab, covering the hair, etc. They will even shout, if their daughters are wearing a see-through scarf or something, they'll shout them, people can see your hair, cover your hair properly. We are very particular about this aspect of things. But when it comes to our voice, we fall short. When it comes to the voice, many women who are even in parda, but they fall short when it comes to the voice. Right? And remember, if a person is sitting in a lounge, your husband got a visitor, right? The visitor is sitting with your husband in the lounge or with your father in the lounge. You are in the next room. You are in the other part of the house, but you are talking aloud. And that person hears your voice. That person hears your voice. Your voice is bewitching to him. Now he knows, hey, there's a lady there, there's a girl there. Now he will start thinking now, oh, she must be looking like this, she must be looking like that. So these thoughts of his, these thoughts are also zina. So when we know that there is a stranger in the house, then we must watch how we speak. Right? Sometimes you need to pass the tray over. You need to send the tea or something, right? Your husband is sitting with the guests. You want to send the tea. You must form a code with your husband. You see, if we are conscious about these things, then we will do these things. If we are not conscious, then everything becomes like a big deal, you know. Everything becomes like a very, very difficult task to do. Right? But you can make a code with your husband that, look, what I'll do is, when I need to send the tray, I will just take a teaspoon and I will knock the wall 3 times. Or I'll knock the table 3 times. So when you hear that, you must know that I need to send the tea, that, you know, the tea is ready, you need to take the tea. Today's times, every husband got a cell phone, wife got a cell phone. We send so many BB messages and WhatsApp messages for nothing. Can't we do make a system like that? The wife can tell the husband, look, your visitors are there, you keep your phone by you, when the tea is ready, I'll send you a BB, I'll ping you. So those strange men don't have to hear her voice. But because we're not conscious of it, that's why we don't put these things into place. Okay? So inshallah, we'll stop here. And in the next period, we'll continue from here. There's more aspects, quite a lot that is explained with regards to hijab. So we'll continue with that inshallah. Allah Pak give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته